Welcome to another episode of the Woke Settler podcast series, Missing and Murdered, The Fear Indigenous Women Have to Live With. I'm your host, Matthew Brown, and today we're talking about the missing or murdered Indigenous women and the history that affects these things today. There is a problem for females in the Indigenous community, something that continues to grow and attract more and more attention, yet there's no real solution in sight. Indigenous women are a target for thieves and murderers. They are being stolen off the street without a trace of where they went, only to be found dead days, weeks, or months later, if they're found at all. Homicide rates of Indigenous women have gone up by 12% from only 9% to 21% in the past few years. Indigenous women only take up 4% of all women in Canada, yet compared to all women murdered, they represent 21% of those cases, and it feels like police aren't doing enough about this situation. The situation has similarities to the 60s scoop. In the way that the Indigenous kids were taken from their families to be put in awful residential schools or adopted into non-Indigenous families. Here's a video from CIBC News explaining what it is.
What is the 60s scoop? The 60s scoop happened throughout Canada from the 1960s to the late 80s. Child welfare authorities scooped 20,000 Indigenous children from their families. Most of the children were adopted by white families. Many were taken without their mother's knowledge and sent to other provinces, the U.S., and even Europe. Authorities said they were acting in the children's best interests. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission report stated the 60s scoop, quote, adversely affected parenting skills and the success of many Aboriginal families. Critics say it was a racist effort to assimilate Indigenous Canadians, and those who lived through it say they were robbed of their cultural identity. In 2015, the Manitoba government took responsibility.
I would like to apologize on behalf of the province of Manitoba for the 60s scoop.
But the federal government has never apologized. Today, survivors are bringing multiple lawsuits to courts across Canada.
Although being adopted by non-Indigenous families have never resulted in death, they were stripped of their identity and were forced to join a culture that was not their own. As I said in the video, between 1960 and 1990, there's around 20,000 kids, Indigenous children, that were taken. First Nations, Métis, and Inuit children were all taken from their homes and forced into adoption, according to the Canadian Encyclopedia and CIBC News. Unfortunately, this can cause issues in the family. Addictions, it can result in having a broken household, or in a worst case scenario, a family member killing one of their relatives. And now, it's not to say that Indigenous homes are broken. Rather, what I'm suggesting is that the past that the mothers, fathers, or even grandparents have had to endure still affect them to this day, and can lead to drinking or addictions, and in the end affect their family and cause it to be harder to raise their children. As it shows, most cases of murderers in the Indigenous community were actually committed by a family member, showing proof that the issue is connected to the past traumas caused by things such as the 60s scoop. A murder with no known killer is a common occurrence in the Indigenous community, and when they identify a killer, it usually happens to be a family member. Hence why I believe that the 60s scoop and the residential schools are affecting Indigenous families to this day. According to a study done on data between 1980 to 2014, 53% of murderers were actually family members of the victim. 26% of the time, the murderer was someone they knew or were friends with, and only 8% of the time, a murderer was a stranger or someone that they had never met. This statistic is one that can be a reflection on the impact that Indigenous residential schools have had on the Indigenous community. Being raised in a community where they are constantly abused, having to witness friends and family members killed because of the harsh conditions or experiences other terrible things in schools have shown that it causes difficulties later on in life. This leads me to my next topic, residential schools. These schools were meant to tear away the culture, religion, and language of Indigenous children while removing them from their homes. They would send RCMP officers to go and take the kids without their parents' permission. The kids were often beaten, forced to stop practicing their religion and language, starved, or worse. The residential schools were meant to tear their identity from them and assimilate the children into the community. The RCMP's main purpose when they were first created was to take Indigenous kids and keep the Indigenous communities in check. The RCMP was created for one reason in the beginning, to control the Indigenous land and communities. The things that the RCMP had to do were things such as taking the children, controlling the way that they lived and what they could and couldn't do. Those things have just recently started to get fixed, and things still aren't perfect yet. I believe this causes tension between the RCMP and the Indigenous community, which can make it difficult when trying to get both parties to communicate on cases, which can lead to more cold cases. The other issue that causes separation between Canada and the Indigenous community is the racism that circulates through this country. Many Canadian citizens wrongfully view Indigenous people as lazy, drunks, thieves who live off welfare, and criminals. So to be viewed like that would obviously make it harder to be taken seriously. This is an issue in Canada that needs to be changed quickly to right the wrongs that our country has committed towards all Indigenous people in Canada in the past and the present. Nadine matches Kinnick, a mother of four living a risky lifestyle in the sex trade, struggling with addiction, was found injured at the bottom of a laundry chute on January 10th in 2015. She fell 10 stories down the laundry chute, was found and brought to the hospital, but unfortunately died a few hours later in the hospital. Police decided quickly that there was no foul play involved because there was only one witness who saw Nadine at the bottom of the laundry chute, and the cameras were glitchy and never saw Nadine enter the building and never saw Nadine with anybody else when she was in the building. It took police over a year to even start looking for potential suspects, and that they wouldn't have even started if it wasn't for the persistence of her family that wanted justice for her awful murder. The police put no real effort into the case at first. They let it go cold very quickly. Some might say that it was just a case that led nowhere, yet it seems that a lot of Indigenous females getting murdered have no evidence of who the killer was or any evidence whatsoever. There are roughly 1,017 missing or murdered cases of Indigenous women in Canada between 1980 to 2012. A quick side note, 2012 was the most recent data that I could find on this subject, and after going through multiple sources, they all said around the same thing and all had data up to about 2012. It reports that almost 59% of missing or murdered cases happen in Saskatchewan. There's a real issue here, but it almost seems as if the police and government are letting it be, as if they don't want to help. These facts are heartbreaking, knowing that these women are being taken and murdered at such alarming rates, and yet most cases are unsolved or take a very long time to find out what really happened. Take Cleo Semaganis Nicotine, for example, a young Cree girl who was taken from her family and adopted by a new white family at a young age. She never saw anyone from her family after she was adopted and brought into the USA. She was murdered in 1978 at the age of 13, and the killer still has not been found to this day. CIBC News did a podcast on the murder, and just like everyone else, there was nothing to be found. Here's a clip from the CBC podcast that was made on April 2nd in 2018.
This is the only picture I've had of Cleo since I was 18.
Wow.
So she must be about, looks to be 7 or 8 in that picture.
It's small and frail, mm-hmm. But it's all Christine Cameron has left of her sister Cleo.
This is the only connection, the only evidence of her that I had for, you know, over 4 decades. So just this teeny weeny little picture, and this is it.
Instead of memories of her sister, she's left with only questions. All she knows is that young Cleo died decades ago. The details of her short life and tragic death remain shrouded in mystery.
All we knew is that she was in Arkansas and she tried to come home and was picked up and assaulted and murdered. That's the story we were told, right?
Christine and her siblings were born in Saskatchewan and separated from their biological mother, Lillian, as children. They were all.
When searching, they couldn't find any solid evidence or even get a real lead, and the police didn't really help them to find anything either. It was as if they had hit a brick wall in the investigation. It has been almost 50 years, and unfortunately, Cleo's killer has still never been found, and likely will forever remain a mystery. Although many Indigenous women have been taken or murdered without finding the person who committed the crime, they are not forgotten. Here's a video regarding the Sisters in Spirit, published by the Canadian Encyclopedia.
Family, friends, allies, and elders gather for a nationally celebrated Sisters in Spirit Walk, organized locally by Connie Grey Eyes. This is a walk to remember murdered and missing Aboriginal women in our country, something Paige Wild and her family have experienced firsthand.
She was in Edmonton and she was hitchhiking back, and Joe had told her to wait there, but she said that she had met somebody and she had a ride, and then she never showed back up at home.
The Sisters in Spirit is an organization that helps support Indigenous women and holds an event to uphold families that have lost loved ones to such a horrible crime. Every October, communities across Canada come together to honor the missing and murdered Indigenous women, stand with their families to support them, to educate the public, and remember the women that were taken or murdered. This organization was founded in 2006 and was the first government-funded organization that helps the Indigenous community with the issue at hand. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed and were able to learn more about the issue in the Indigenous community, an issue that affects Canada as a whole.